Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to St. James for this special service, this memorial of Stuart McPherson. In a few moments, the service will begin, but before that, I'd invite you to turn off your cell phones to allow this to be the time that it needs to be. We come here from a variety of places. We come here from busy days. And in this moment, we gather to do an important thing, to remember and to support and to hear the words of God. If during the service you need to use the washroom at all, you can find that right out the side towards the Great Hall and to your left. And after the service, there will be a reception for us to gather and to have conversation and to engage in the important work of coming alongside and supporting the family. In a few moments, the service will begin with me reading some sentences of Scripture, at which time I'll invite you to stand. Please stand. I am the resurrection, and I am the life, says the Lord. Whoever has faith in me shall have life, even though he die. And everyone who has life and is committed to me in faith shall not die forever. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Once again, I'd like to welcome you to this special time where we gather to remember, to support, and to hear God's words of comfort to a grieving people. We'll begin our service, and everything that you'll need to follow along in the service can be found in the leaflet and in the green book in front of you. But at this time, I would like to invite Wayne forward to give some remembrances of Stuart.
Thank you, Stuart. I've been spoiled by you and your precious son, Avery. You have spoiled me with your time with your father and grandfather. Nothing has been too big for you. Your weekly calls and your holiday visits, including St. James, a full day's drive away, have been special, of course, including the singing of the children's hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And that struck a chord with Avery, with his church back home of more than 2,500 people. You at St. James have made them feel welcome at home with their sincere smiles and greetings. And Sandra and Dave have led the connection with the family back home in Georgia. Now, family connections in Atlanta are taking a new role in his studies and his growth, thanks to Jill and Al and grandparents Gail and Chuck. Well done. Avery has taken to the trumpet, leading to enrollment in a private music school back home. He continues his interest in scouts, and Stuart has opened Avery's horizon to beyond the moon with his studies to the gateway of the heavens through the simulated NASA flights at the National Cadet Camp. Well done. And I've met a community leader lately who had the same lofty goals with NASA in his youth. And now he has grown up and he has become our minister. God works in mysterious ways. Rather than bringing up Stuart, it was him bringing up his father. He showed me how to improve my cooking and gave me the special pasta recipes. Stuart was at the forefront and is showing his dad how to fish from the early days along the trout streams. At the age of 2, with his knee-high rubber boots and his life jacket, his patience helped him land the king-sized trout that just had to be mounted. Next was the mounting of the sailfish that stretched across the room. You picked up your patience in your examples of fishing, many study and lifetime skills from your mother. Well done. I'm pleased you didn't pick up my lack of singing skills, for it was said that you would have failed kindergarten if you continued to use my out-of-tune singing. We worked on the updating of the house as a family project and traveled together throughout North America. Stuart's early travels to see the Anne of Green Gables in PEI must have made an earlier impact larger than we anticipated at the time, which has led to the production of many plays and support at convention centers throughout North America. Again, well done. Donna was a cradle Anglican with the wisdom of Proverbs 6, bring up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not stray. Stuart started giving readings in church in his 5th year in elementary school. I'm sorry I didn't follow the variety of vocal and instrumental presentations you worked with, for they were the tops in the world and would have made me music literal. The same is true for the knowledge that you picked up in your specialty of medical conventions, many with the world-renowned hospitals. Internationally known speakers, you enabled them to sound and appear at their best with the top equipment, precise sound wavelengths, and expertise in operating the best equipment available. You taught me about big cities and how to sidestep possible problems along the way. You called before I knew that there were major incidents and assured me that you were well and out of harm's way. Stuart, I and we can continue to learn from your life skill experiences of yourself and Avery, always leaving your classmates and your friends, clients, and those you meet along the street on a walk with your Atlanta Husky, Chewy, to leave them with a smile on their face, often with compliments. Rather than father and son bringing up a son, it was more like the son and grandfather bringing up the father and grandfather. and teaching him many skills along the way. For that, I am forever grateful.
I believe one of Stuart's cousins might like to say a word or two. Please come up.
Good afternoon. For those who don't know me, my name is Jay Brody, and I'm Stuart's first cousin. Stuart's mom, Donna, and my mom, Joanne, are obviously sisters. So I've known Stuart. He's always been that older cousin of mine. And I had the opportunity from a very young age to be part of Stuart's life. We lived out in Western Canada at the time, but we moved back to the Mississauga area when I was about 14. But in between 14 and moving back, we would always, as a family, come home for the summertime. And Stuart always took the time, although, you know, not too many people can say a 16-year-old cousin wanted to go mini putting with a 8-year-old cousin, or a 17-year-old cousin wanted to go get ice cream with a 9-year-old cousin. But Stuart always took the time to come and visit our family when we were in town. And as I got older and we moved back to Mississauga from out west, Stuart always made the effort to reach out to the family to see how everybody is doing. Stu was always there for the family, and there's times where he would be at the house and help my dad with little construction projects and little odd jobs and stuff. But I always had fond moments of Stuart taking me, as Uncle Wayne said, trout fishing. When Stuart was in college, he ended up getting a job down on Ontario Place, and he always made the effort, took me fishing a couple of times down on the credit for salmon fishing. I don't remember if we were successful, but I always remember it was always an enjoyable time. Throughout the years, I was a best man in one of his weddings. Did I say that? I'm pretty sure Stu would be laughing with that as well. I enjoyed our visits, and because of the internet over the last 7 or 8 years, Stu and I probably talked, and not many people know this, we probably talked every second day. He would send me a text, how's your mom? How's your dad? I would send him a text, how's the family? How's Avery? I would see something on the internet, because Stuart had a vibrant internet presence. And he always would post how Avery was doing, and he was so proud of his accomplishments. I too shared in those accomplishments because Avery was given the opportunities that I got to go to scouts. Well, Avery gets to go to space camp. And all of those moments that Stuart shared with me, he would send me a message and we would discuss that. We would discuss different politics and different things. And when he came to me and he said, hey, I'm thinking about getting my American citizenship. What do you think? And I said, that's an excellent idea. And we talked about that. And again, not many people knew that we talked as frequently as we did and always looked forward to the positive conversation and insight that Stu brought. Because a lot of times in today's society, when somebody reaches out to you, it's because something bad in their life is going on. And when Stu and I talked, it was always positive. If he was going in for a medical procedure or a checkup, he would say, oh, it's nothing, don't worry about it. And he always brought positivity to my life. Sometimes I was down and Stu always brought me up. And it was his positivity and his reflection on it always can be worse. I truly respect Stu for, and I appreciate everything that he has done for myself and for our family, because he always reached out to my mom and dad and checked in on him as well. So with that, thank you for asking me to speak today, Uncle Wayne.
I've also been asked to read a eulogy from Jeff Dawson, who wasn't sure he could get through it on his own. And so these are not my words, but Jeff's that are being delivered through me. So Jeff says, Stu and I met almost 45 years ago. In fact, it was 34 years ago this very day, with Mr. and Mrs. McPherson in attendance, Stu stood up with me as my best man at our wedding. As Sandra and I reflect back on this day today, Stu is at the forefront of our memories. Stu and I met at Mother's Pizza Parlor and Spaghetti House, where we both worked as pizza makers. It didn't take long for us to recognize that we were two brothers from different mothers. When we worked together, it didn't feel like work, as we would have pizza tossing contests, and we would always challenge each other who could build the quickest pizza or dice the fastest onion. It was all about competing on one task or another, and well, laughing and razzing each other. As if this wasn't enough, we each had a humorous and prankish side. We would enjoy sticking pepperoni slices over the numbers of the kitchen clock so nobody could tell what time it was, or waiting for the night manager to leave on a break so we could place all the phone lines on hold so they would be wildly blinking away when he or she returned. But the best would be generally placing raw anchovies on waitresses' shoulders when they were distracted and waiting for their reaction in front of the dining room full of patrons. Stu had a patent laugh that would make me laugh even harder. When Stu and Sandra met, they hit it off instantly. And like my friendship with Stu, it became the same for Sandra. He has often told me over the years that no one can give a bear hug like you, Stu. Back in the day, Sandra's family had a cottage up in Fort Pranks, and Stu would visit regularly. He quickly became a big part of her extended family. I remember one Saturday evening when we had a family gathering planned and Stu was there for the weekend. We spent all evening telling stories around the campfire, and Stu and I indulged in a few too many brown pops. He and I had an early fishing trip planned the following morning and her papa and uncle for 6 a.m. We got out on the lake, which was somewhat choppy, and I remember this like it happened yesterday. I asked Stu how he was feeling, to which he replied, "Well, bud, I kinda have the heebie-jeebies." This would shortly thereafter lead to Stu and I taking turns over the side of the boat, heaving away, while her uncle literally held us by our belt buckles, and her papa laughed his you-know-what off. We would speak about this memory many times over the years, and always had a good laugh about it. When Sandra and I decided to start our family, there was no second-guessing the fact that Stu was going to be called Uncle Stu. Not only did he love the idea, but he took on this role as any true uncle would. He was always eager to listen to their stories, and he would encourage them. He gave them good advice and was very proud of their accomplishments. And they both miss him dearly. Stu had two favorite expressions when he wanted to show you his enthusiasm for something that you were showing him or talking about. He always said, "Cool beans." And when it was time to change the subject or for him to leave, it was always, "Anyways." Sandra and I and the girls will miss his patented phone message when we missed his calls. He would always state when leaving a message, "Hi Jeff, Sandra, Jessica, and Cassandra, Stu here." We always chuckled at the fact he said "Stu here," as if we didn't know right away that that was his voice. This became a running joke that we had with him over the years. When Avery came into Stu's life, Stuart was changed forever. Avery became his life. He had worked so hard to follow his education and dreams of becoming the best in sound and light in the industry that he could be, but even that paled by the comparison to his desire to love and care for his son like no father ever had. Everything was suddenly second fiddle. Even Stu's LinkedIn page states, and I quote, "In my time away, I have a blast with my son, Avery, doing everything from Boy Scouts, dirt track racing, camping, bike riding, fishing, and anything my son wants to do." Unquote. Avery, your dad would often tell me how proud he was of your accomplishments and how hard you were working at school. So keep making him proud, as we all know you will. He may not be here with you, but trust me, he is watching over you at all times. Stu and I shared a love over the years of the London Knights and an even stronger passion for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Both teams were quickly introduced to Avery as if he had a choice. All I can say today is, well, buddy, now you have the best seats in the barn. Enjoy. And I hope those damn Leafs can win the cup before I join you. Our Christmases will be forever changed now, as Stu and Avery would always head north to spend time with the family and friends. We looked forward to our yearly Christmas dinner, visits with them, and our gift exchange. It was always nice to see how much Avery had grown over the years. Every year, Sandra would bake Stu a tin of her shortbread cookies, as they were his favorite. And she would also tuck a bag of salt and vinegar chips in with his gift, as Stu would often gripe about the fact that he couldn't find any S&V chips stateside. These times will be sadly missed, but never forgotten. Each year, Stu and I would call each other, and with each other, happy birthday. This year, when I called Stu on his birthday, he was on a road trip to Florida, as Avery was away at camp. He told me he was visiting places that he'd always wanted to see, but his schedule over the years hadn't allowed him the time. We spoke about everything and anything. And I remember, after that call, telling Sandra how happy I was that he was able to take some time for himself and see those sights that he had so long wanted to visit. As it was one of those conversations I'm glad we had. Sandra and I are not social media fans, but our girls are, and they have expressed to us about the outpouring of condolences that they have received from Stu's friends and work associates stateside, and how they have all been very touching and heartfelt. Of course, our family is not surprised by this, as Stu was just an all-around genius, kind and caring human being. On the day Stu passed, I called him at the hospital and had a very brief conversation. I ended with, "I love you, brother," to which he replied, "Love you too, bud." Reflecting back, I was blessed to have Stu as my best bud. Over the years, we shared many good times. We were always there for each other, and I am so grateful that I had such a good friend in Stu. To know Stu was to love him, but to know Stu was to be loved. We love you, brother, and we miss you. These are Jeff Dawson's reflections. Let us pray. God of all consolation, in your unending love and mercy, you turn the darkness of death into the dawn of new life. Show compassion to your people in their sorrow. Be our refuge and our strength to lift us from the darkness of grief to the peace and light of your presence. Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by dying for us, conquered death, and by rising again, restored life. May we then go forward eagerly to meet him, and after our life on earth, be reunited with our brothers and sisters, where every tear will be wiped away. We ask this through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. In times like this, sometimes it's hard to find the right words to say. And so we turn to Holy Scripture, words that have offered comfort for thousands of years. And I'd invite now the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 51 to 58. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must be put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word of the Lord.
I'd invite the congregation to stand, and in your bulletin, you can find the lyrics for the hymn On Eagle's Wings. Please remain standing for the proclamation of the gospel.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, John 14:1-6. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your heart be fooled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you myself, so that where I am also you may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you're going. How can you know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is my honor to have been asked to officiate this service for Stuart. I've not been at St. James Westminster all that long, but I've already come to know Wayne as a kind soul and a deep well of knowledge and history. I am honored to perform these rites and ceremonies as we remember our friend Stuart and lay him to rest. In times of loss, it's natural for friends and family to gather and pay their respects and to support one another. And that is what we are here today to do. Within a funeral, there are three things that must be done. The first is to remember with kindness and thankfulness the life of the person that we lay to rest. The second is to gather and support the family and the friends of the deceased. And the third, the thing that we are going to do now, is to reflect on what God has promised to us and to all creation, and to be comforted that those promises now apply to Stuart. I didn't have the pleasure of knowing Stuart, but from the little I've heard, I can tell that Stuart was a man who was full of life. He followed a passion that led him to have amazing adventures and to meet incredible people. His laugh was contagious, and his sense of humor was honest and deep and a bit, well, more than a bit mischievous. I don't believe faith is born out of a fear of today, fear of the day that the person will no longer be with us. I don't think that's true. I think faith is what inspires us to live a life as deeply and as full of meaning as we possibly can. Stuart cared for his friends and his family, and especially his son Avery, with a loving heart in a way that Jesus loves. He embodied the paradox of the Christian life, of being a good steward of what has been given to you, but at the same time, being overflowing with generosity and compassion. Stuart's life, his whole life, speaks of his love of life and therefore of God more clearly and more articulately and more beautifully than any sermon I could ever preach. His life was the only response that made sense to him to live as deeply and as full of meaning as he possibly could. And it grieves us that a life like his is over far too soon. It's hard to believe that a man who had so much personality is no longer with us. It's hard to believe that everything about Stuart is in this urn. You see, there are two messages that are being told to you today. One is what you see with your eyes, that Stuart has died, that his life, as amazing as it was and as caring as he was, is over. And that is true. But there's a second message, quieter than the first, but no less true. It is the message that the God of life, that inspired him to live as fully as he did, loves him back. And as much as we struggle to believe that Stuart is gone, neither can God. The faith that Stuart had, the same faith that inspired him to lead the kind of life he led, now offers him a promise. The Bible says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Stuart, of course, will go on living in our hearts and in our minds, in our stories, in the things that he taught us. But it's more than that. He has been given a promise to go on living in a real and true way. There is a room, a mansion, a place for him with our Heavenly Father. And we are told that the trumpet will sound and we will be raised imperishable. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body will put on immortality. And while that sounds like a fanciful fairy tale or just a dream, there's a piece of us that recognizes it as true. It's hard to believe that all Stuart was is gone. Too hard. And if we're being honest, Stuart's death makes us think about our own mortality. But the promise that we have, that Stuart now knows is true, is that death has lost its apparent finality, that death has lost its sting. And now death is a doorway to a new way of being, a new existence with God, a new season, different from what came before, but no less beautiful. It is a promise that can be trusted in. And it is a promise that is open to every one of us. It is the promise that is central to the Christian faith. God has done this because he loves us. As I said earlier, faith is not born out of this promise, but it's the thing that inspires us to live the best life we can, because it is the only response that makes sense to us for the love that God has given us. Today we have come together to remember Stuart, to thank God for his life and for all that he was, and to trust him into his care. But we also gather to hear again God's promise that this is not the end for Stuart. Rather, it is a new beginning. Amen. In our bulletins, I invite the congregation to stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The prayers of the people.
Please be seated. The prayers of the people can be found on page 593 of your Green Service book. The response will be, Hear us, Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together in one communion, in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. May all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection die to sin and rise to newness of life. And may we with him pass through the grave and gate of death to our joyful resurrection.
Yes.
Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that your Holy Spirit may lead us into holiness and righteousness all our days. Grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from our sins and serve you with a quiet mind.
Yes.
Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love.
Yes.
Give courage and faith to those who are bereaved, that they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the comfort of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love. Grant us grace to entrust Stuart to your never-failing love, which sustained him in his life. Receive him into the arms of your mercy and remember him according to the favor you bear for your people. Hear us, Lord.
I'd invite the congregation to stand, and we sing together the hymn Amazing Grace, found in your leaflet. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, we thank you for Stuart, who is so near and dear to us and who has now been taken from us. We thank you for the friendship he gave and for the strength and peace he brought. We thank you for the love he offered and received while he was with us on earth. We pray that nothing good in this man's life will be lost, but will be of benefit to the world. And we ask that all that was important to him will be respected by those who follow, and that everything in which he was great will continue to mean much to us now that he is gone. We ask you that he may go on living in his children, in his family, and his friends, in their hearts and minds, and in their courage and conscience. And we ask you that we who were close to him may now, because of his death, be even closer to one another, and that we may, in peace and friendship here on earth, always be deeply conscious of your promise to be faithful to us in death. And we pray for ourselves, who are severely tested by this death, that we do not try to minimize this loss or seek refuge from it in words alone, and also that we do not brood over it so that it overwhelms us and isolates us from others. May God grant us the courage and confidence in the new life of Christ. We ask this in the name of the risen Lord. Amen. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Remaining standing, let us sing together, How Great Thou Art. Please be seated. We come to the last part of our service, and before we do, I'd just like to let you know that the family has invited the whole congregation gathered over to the Great Hall after the service for some refreshments and a chance to visit, so please come. And on your way over, there is a guest book, and I know it would mean tons to the family if you made sure to sign that. And so now we come to the commendation, and we say this together. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant with your saints, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing but life everlasting. You only are immortal, the creator and maker of all, and we are mortal, formed of the earth, and to the earth shall we return. For so did you ordain when you created me, saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant with your saints, where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing, but life everlasting. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Stuart. Acknowledge, we pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of all the saints in light. Amen. And Stuart will remain here during the reception, so if anyone would like to spend some time in the church, please feel free to do that. I'd invite the congregation to stand. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen.